Hi, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join us today and learn some new English, hopefully, and brush up on your listening skills. Today is April 26th, Tuesday, the second day of our design feature this month called Cutting Edge Animator. It's a story about Hao Li, and he's a young man who's making quite a name for himself in the computer animation world. And yesterday we learned about some of the things he did, some of the schools he went to, some of the movies he was involved in. Well, for day two, we have again in our studio, Lois. Welcome back, Lois.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here. This is feels like a lesson for me today that I am learning things that maybe I have only touched on before or haven't known at all. So I'm enjoying this.
Good, good. We're always happy to have you here, as we are happy to have Albert. Welcome back, Albert.
Thanks. It's good to be back. I'm excited about finishing this article. Looking forward to what else Hao Li is known for.
Yeah, he's a very, very talented young man, is he?
Is he not? Yes.
He is indeed. And let's go back to some points yesterday and quickly review some things that we learned. We'll start with you, Lois.
Okay. Well, I think one of the things I really appreciate about this article was finding out what he had actually worked on. So that makes it more interesting to me, maybe more personal. I can relate to it more, and maybe that's what our readers are looking for, too. So half the movies that he had worked on I have seen, and one of them is on my top of my list to see in the near future, and that's Furious 7. And because I always actually liked Paul Walker's work, I thought he was very respectful in how he finished up the film.
It's funny that you should mention that. I think of Furious 7 as kind of, I'm sorry, Lois, like a teenager film or like a young in the 20s film. So you really go for that?
I really like cars. In fact, I can really name cars. I see a car on the road, and I can tell you what it is.
So you like fast cars?
I like fast cars.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is really funny. I mean, Steve makes a good point. If you haven't had the chance, our dear listeners, to meet Lois in person, she's like a proper lady. And here she is liking Fast 7.
I know. A little surprising. We're learning something new about you, Lois.
Yeah.
Interesting. How about you, Albert?
Just the technology that goes behind trying to make digital animation realistic. You know, things like body capturing and shape reconstruction, real-time facial performance capture, 3D hair acquisition. I mean, you don't think about it, but, you know, when there's digitized avatars and their hair is just fake, it just throws you off. It takes you out of the immersion from the movie.
Right.
And here we have, you know, Hao Li working with his team and everyone else who is animator, trying to make it more realistic.
Yeah, what was that movie about Rapunzel called?
Tangled,
yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah, with her long, long hair. That hair was really, really important. It's an essential part of
exactly.
The story. So the more the animators could make that real, the more real it was, the better, right?
Yeah. Mm.
And that enhances the pleasure and the viewing pleasure of the audience. So that's one example. That's not really, that certainly is a cartoon, and it's not meant to be 3D and lifelike. But to get as lifelike as possible is usually
right.
The goal for most animators.
Right. And what about yourself, Steve?
Yeah, I was just going to say, along the lines of what Lois said about the movies that Hao Li was involved in, he has probably done things that you have seen. So if you have seen any of these movies,
right.
These are just a few of them. They're not a whole complete list, but maybe some of the more famous ones. You have probably seen his work. So this man has his fingerprint on much of the entertainment that we take in.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because some people I knew when I was growing up or maybe in my college years or whatever that I thought, you know, really is they're going to go far and very talented. Sometimes for me, I'm one of these people that likes to watch right the credits right till the end.
Oh, really?
I look for those people's names because you just think, maybe they did something on this.
Whose names are you looking for, Laura? Are you looking for people you know?
Yeah, people I know.
Oh.
Yeah, people I know.
Oh, I see. Okay, so it's not just Holly, but some other people.
No, some people I know. Or some people since I've come to Taiwan that I never have heard of before, but have been involved in film, both in the east side of the world and the west side of the world.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
very interesting.
It interests me.
Yeah, friends, I wonder if you do the same thing. If you sit in the movie theater when the movie's over and watch the credits roll and look for people that you know. That can be as entertaining as the movie itself. All right, well, let's get into today's lesson. We are on page 41 today, and we're going to talk more about Hao Li and how he got started, and specifically his education in Europe. Let's read about that right now.
European education. Li got a master's degree in computer science in 2006 from the University of Karlsruhe, now the Karlsruhe Institute of Technology, and a doctorate in computer science from ETH Zurich in 2010. Li followed that up with postdoctoral work at Princeton University and Columbia University through early 2012. I got the formal training on the theoretics of computer science. I started to experiment with graphics and put them on YouTube, Li said. If it's well done, it immediately catches attention in the industry.
Okay, we're learning about how Li got his start. Of course, he's a very brilliant young man. He was inspired at an early age by movies like Jurassic Park and The Terminator to get involved in animation. He got his master's degree in 2006 from a university in Germany, and it's a very prestigious university. It's kind of like the MIT of Germany.
And I love the name, Karlsruhe.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's a tongue twister. But that's where he went. He got his master's degree there, and then he went on to get his doctorate where, Albert?
In Princeton University and Columbia University.
Even before that.
Yes, he went to.
Right.
He obviously went to Switzerland. He went to ETH Zurich.
Right. So he went to Zurich, got his doctorate. This is a smart dude. And then he went on for postdoctorate work. So years ago, I thought doctorate was the highest, right?
Yes.
But it's not. I mean, there's even higher, more things to learn after you become a doctor.
Well, and I'm thinking, how many languages does this man know as well? I'm thinking at least three.
Yeah, he has to know Chinese. His parents are Chinese. He has to know French, German, I'm guessing.
English, obviously.
English, yeah, so maybe those four.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking in Zurich, his education probably was in German, but he probably knows French as well. You're probably right.
Because the university he got his master's degree in is very close to the French border near Strasbourg. So I'm guessing he knows some French, too. Well, postdoctoral, let's look at that prefix post for a second. Post meaning after, right?
Right.
Yeah, so we might say the post-war era. If we're talking about history, there was a war, and the time after the war was post-war. Okay, so there's pre and there's post. He did his postdoctoral work, Albert, where now?
Princeton University and Columbia University.
Okay, both of those universities are in the northeastern part of the U.S., very prestigious schools, all of them are. So Hao Li, again, is a very, very smart young man. Then, in line 7, he has something to say. What does he say, Lois?
Well, he says, I got the formal training on the theoretics of computer science. I started to experiment with graphics and put them on YouTube.
Okay, so he got his theory down. And this is interesting. I think this is applies to many, many different parts of our lives, like music, for example. It's very important if you want to be a musician, to play music, to know music theory, right? And after you know the theory, after you master the theory, then you have more tools to break the rules, so to speak, and experiment and be creative And I think the same thing is happening here. He got all of the theory down for the computer science, and now he wants to branch out and experiment, right?
Right. And in his world, the fact that he received all this education or got it for himself, it's going to cause people to respect him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to not doubt if he wants to branch out.
Right.
Because he does have all this theory behind him. It's part of his life. And now he's kind of what we would say going for it.
Yes. And this next part is very, very interesting. In the world of YouTube, people are putting on their own work, posting it on the internet for the hopes of catching the attention of people to help advance their career. And I think of Justin Bieber, who did that.
Definitely.
He got his start on YouTube, and so did Hao Li. He made some things with some pretty incredible graphics, put them on YouTube, and he got some attention. And we're going to learn more about that in our next paragraph. Let's read about getting noticed.
Getting noticed. Lee said he wound up getting job offers from Microsoft Corp and Industrial Light and Magic. At the same time, I started applying for faculty positions, Lee said. That's how I came to USC in June 2013. Lee said he chose academia over commercial positions because of the stability of academic environments, the resources, and because you can do crazy things and ideas and not worry about commercializing it. You can also do long-term fundamental research, something you can't do in an industry job. Stay open to possibilities, Lee said, adding, have a rough idea of where you want to go, but don't just stick with that because technology is changing so quickly now. There is no way to plan. You just have to adapt to the changes.
Okay, thank you, Gabe, for that reading. Now, before the reading, we learned that Hao Li posted some things on YouTube. He got the attention of some people. What happened next, Lois?
Well, it says he's got noticed, or he's getting noticed, right? It says, Lee said he wound up getting job offers from Microsoft Corporation and Industrial Light and Magic. At the same time, I started applying for faculty positions.
Okay, so he got the attention of some pretty prestigious companies. That would be pretty cool. You put something on YouTube, and I would expect maybe I would get like 7 or 8 hits from my parents. But this guy, I mean, he's getting lots and lots of hits. People are watching it. Important people are watching it, like the people at Microsoft. And they're like, hey, do you want to work for us? But he turned them down. He wanted to work in academia. And when we say academia, meaning he wanted to work at a school or a university, work in a community that is associated with studying and thinking, right?
Right.
So that's why did he choose academia over the other businesses, Albert?
Well, the way he saw it was that commercial positions doesn't offer the stability of academic environments. And the resources that's at hand is like you can do crazy things and not worry about having or the need to commercialize it.
Yes.
Yeah, and when you commercialize something is when you exploit for maximum profit, usually by sacrificing quality, right?
Yes. Again, I'm going to use the analogy of music. I know music a little bit. And so a lot of people, they make music. And when a business gets involved, the record companies, they start giving their opinion about what you should do. You lose your creativity and you start to feel stifled because the record company wants to make money off of you, but you want to express yourself artistically. So there's that tension there.
Right.
And so Hao Li understands that tension. If he were to work for a company, he would be told more often what to do, what they want him to do, and he wouldn't have that opportunity to express himself the way he wanted, right?
Yes, and I was also, when I was reading this, I was also thinking, possibly, too, he does not have a business head. Okay, he's a very talented man, but if he really had the business head, he'd probably want to be a total entrepreneur. So then he's not under any company, or he's not within the boundaries of an institution of higher learning. So this might be the best fit for him.
Right. I appreciate what you said, Lois. However, let's not forget, he did start a company.
That's true.
Called Pinscreen. So we're not sure if he is business savvy or not.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate what you said. That could be correct.
Right. He might not want to do that full time, because oftentimes you'll hear people that are very creative say, oh, the business side is taking me away from being creative.
Yes.
It takes all my time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking he wouldn't maybe like that.
So, and that's true for all things, all kinds of artistic endeavors. Authors feel this pressure.
Musicians
actors,
do.
Musicians, artists who paint, sculptors.
Right. You'll find chefs say that. Chefs say, I just want to be in the kitchen and all I have to do is be in the books now.
Yeah, yeah. So there's always this tension about being creative and then being told what to do because money needs to be made.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's continue on to the next paragraph. Lee gives us a suggestion. Albert, what does he say on line 25?
He says, you know, you got to stay open to possibilities. Have a rough idea of where you want to go, but don't just stick with it that because technology is changing so quickly now. So when you stick with something, when we think of something that's sticky, we usually think of something that's glue and, you know, it adheres or attaches easily and won't let go. And he's telling you not to stick with it. You know, it's okay. It's fine because technology is changing, so you got to keep up with it.
Okay. That's good advice. I think if you have an interest that you want to pursue, set yourself in that direction.
Mm.
Go toward it. But be flexible a little bit, right? Because the road might diverge a little bit, and it might take you to a very cool place.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid of being flexible. Don't just stick with one course that you have and be determined to go down that road. That might not be the best place for you.
Right.
Yeah. So, Lois, there's no way to plan, right? There are things in our lives that come up. Situations that come up that do change our plans in life, right?
Right.
I think we're old enough to know those things.
Definitely. You know, Steve, I'm sure you and I can both relate to this. I never saw myself living in Northeast Asia, but plans changed back in my home country of Canada. And this was the place, the door opened over in this part of the world, both for my husband and I. And so we had to make that huge step and say, plans have changed. Here we go.
Yeah. I had to say the same thing. I never planned on being here this long in Asia. I'm closing in on 20 years. But it's been such an adventure and continues to be such an adventure. I don't regret it at all. So you have to be flexible a little bit, right?
I just want to say I'm glad that both of you are here.
Thanks, Albert.
Thank you.
Can you think of a time where you had to be flexible in life?
No. I've heard about this thing. I think I'll start taking yoga and become a little bit more flexible.
Okay. All right, let's wrap up the lesson with the final reading starting at the top of the right-hand column.
Lee starts off by working with his students closely, but then wants them to develop their independence. It's not just giving them a task to do. They need to have their own agenda, where they decide the next project they will be working on. Looking ahead, Lee sees a future in which self-crafted avatars, enhanced to one's own tastes, can assemble in a 3D virtual room for a meeting or social activities. The technology will become an integral part of every computer, mobile device, and living room, Lee said, streaming terabytes of data about us and our friends every second over the internet. Lee added, "Our world is 3D, and I want machines to be able to see it like we do."
All right, we're going to learn a little bit about Lee's teaching style in this next paragraph. How does he teach his students, Albert?
He starts off closely, you know, like a nice mentor, guiding them, but then he wants them to develop their own independence. It's not just giving them a task to do, they need to have their own agenda.
Right. Yeah. So these students need to be self-motivated.
Right.
They need to be coming to class already with inspiration and a dream of what they want to do. They're not just going to class to take in the knowledge of the teacher, but they're going to class, Lee hopes and expects, that they will bring something with them into the classroom.
Do we know if he's teaching students at the undergrad or graduate level?
I don't know. I think
graduate.
The level is graduate level.
Okay.
We learned yesterday, right, that
yes.
He's running the lab with 5 graduate students.
Okay, so yeah. Usually that means they are definitely self-motivated.
Yes.
And they want to be there. They are thrilled to have him as their professor / instructor. And they're probably very highly motivated.
Yeah, that would be fun, right? If you knew your dream.
Yes.
And you would go to this school or this place day after day and pursue your dream and research and do some learning and have this really great mentor,
right.
Teacher watching over you and guiding you. What a great thing for the students. Well, looking ahead, Lee sees a future in which self-crafted avatars enhanced to one's own tastes can assemble in a 3D virtual room for a meeting or social activities. And this is kind of connected to yesterday when we talked about Lee's business called Pinscreen Incorporated. I think he wants to focus on next generation mobile communications in 3D. Remember, we learned that. And I think that's the goal of his company. And this involves avatars and creating a 3D virtual room. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm not sure this is really a good thing.
Yeah.
Why would it not be?
I mean, it's fun, right? But anytime, I think we've had this discussion before. Actually, the three of us had it with a different lesson.
Right.
Anytime you promote or encourage people to get lost in a digital world,
right?
I think there's danger there for their social well-being, right?
Oh, I think that's what the book Fahrenheit 451 was all about. And sometimes when I read this stuff, it puts me back to that book. If some of our listeners want to read that book, you'll see a connection that Steve's talking about.
Yeah, I am sorry. I'm shaking my head here.
All right, listen, I'm not denying the cool factor is very high.
Right.
It's very cool. You can sit in your living room, put on this headset, and then with friends from around the world, you go into this room or you go into, I don't know, an amusement park, and you walk around together. There's nothing, that is super cool.
That's like having video conference calls or whatnot. You cannot tell me you don't appreciate that.
No, I'm just saying there's a little yellow flag waving over here. There can be a danger where people get lost in that world, and people have gotten lost in that world.
True. There is a danger.
You can't deny that there's a danger.
I feel like there's a danger with everything. And, you know, it's just, this is a cool tool that people can use to stay connected.
Okay. And he's talking about mobile devices, every computer in every living room. It's like, wow, we're not going to be able to get away from it.
Well, and that's what we have to do as human beings, say, I have this much time for my mobile devices or my smart devices. And the rest of my time is going to be doing these sort of things or this sort of thing. I think it's getting to the point where we actually truly have to divide up our 24-hour day.
Yes. Yeah, more so than ever before.
Exactly.
More. What are you thinking, Albert?
I'm just thinking, you know, I'm going to be in line for my 3D phone, and then Steve, you'll keep on to your non-3D phone. It'll be fine.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
Anybody who's been listening to our programs lots probably thinks I already own a 3D printer. No, I don't, but that would make a delightful gift.
Funny. Okay. The word terabytes. Let's look at that for a second. I remember when computers were in... Of course, the byte is the basic unit, right?
Right.
It's the basic unit of information on computers. Then there's kilobytes. We don't really talk about that too much. I remember megabytes was big.
Right.
When people send you pictures, you can see it might be 1 megabyte in size.
Right.
And that's pretty big,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
Then after megabytes comes gigabytes. I think we're in this world now. We have memory sticks that are gigabytes
right.
in size. And I, with a rule of thumb, Albert, maybe you can correct me. I usually think of 1 gigabyte equals about 1 minute of video with audio.
1 gigabyte equals
yeah.
1 minute?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's...
Is that correct?
No, I think that's you're off a little bit. I think maybe at a point in time it was that, but the technology for compression has also ramped up a lot.
Okay.
So now like video files are really small.
Much smaller than that.
Because of that as well.
Okay.
So I would say a minute of video would be about like 1080p quality. Would be about 50 megabytes.
Okay,
yeah.
Half that.
Yeah.
Okay. Next is terabyte, and Holly just mentioned those. That is, I think, 10 million bytes. And be ready, everybody. After terabyte comes the petabyte or the petabyte.
Right.
P-E-T-A, right? And that's 1,000 with 50.
Okay, for me, where does RAM fit into all this?
Okay?
Where does RAM fit into
Wallace,
all this?
That is so 1980.
Hard drives are more permanent storage. RAM is when you turn it off and there's no electricity, you lose the data.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, friends, I'd love to sit and talk about these things some more. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you so much, though, for joining us about Hao Li, a cutting-edge animator. We hope that you join us tomorrow for another lesson. And until then, I'm Steve. And for all of us here at Advanced, have a great day.